Jonah chapter 3 and verse 10. Jonah has gone to Nineveh. He's preached. And there's been a massive demonstration of public repentance. And verse 10 reads, "When God saw what they did, and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion, and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened." Jonah 3:10. A tremendous demonstration now of God's mercy, God's compassion upon this people. This is a remarkable awakening. This pagan city, this wicked place, so ripe for the judgment of God, one might think. The preaching of Jonah on judgment. And yet God's intention all along is to have compassion and mercy upon this people. As I've said before in this chapter, in the previous discourse, the preaching of judgment, God sending preachers to warn sinners, is a great mark of mercy. If he just merely wished to damn sinners, silence would be the best method. But God warning of judgment is actually working mercy and compassion. The goodness of God leads men to repentance. It's not the only case in Scripture. Ahab, 1 Kings 21, 27 to 29. God had mercy upon him at his repentance. Manasseh too. Yes, even Manasseh. 2 Chronicles 33, 12 to 13. God delights to show mercy. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Ezekiel 33. And here, he shows mercy to Nineveh. To Nineveh. Jonah is sent to Nineveh, not to Israel. And Christ makes much of this point. He opened his ministry, Luke 4. And he spoke about Elijah at Zarephath. About Naaman. Not the lepers in Israel, but Naaman, the Syrian. The Jews hated it. You'll find the episode in Luke 4, 25 to 30. They saw the point. God, in his sovereignty, taking his mercy to Zarephath, not Israel. There are many widows in Israel at that time, said Christ. Many lepers. But it was outside of Israel. God has mercy upon men. He's still having mercy upon the pagan world today. The pagan world is rampant against God. The atheists are rampant against God. Islam, Antichrist. Against the gospel, preaching and teaching contrary to Christ. But God is still having mercy in this world. And even by this short discourse, there's still another opportunity, another offer, another time when men can hear that unless they repent, they will perish. But when God sees repentance, when men do turn to him, not because they do, not because they deserve it, but in his sovereign mercy, God has compassion and will hold his hand from destruction. Christ, in his day, warned the Jews, Bethsaida, Chorazin, Capernaum, and he said, if the things that have been done in you have been done in Tyre and Sidon, he might have said Nineveh, but he said Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, but you haven't repented. And yet the people of Nineveh repented. Christ also, Luke 11:32, uses the men of Nineveh as a warning to the Jews. The men of Nineveh, he said, will arise in the day of judgment and condemn you, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And lo, a greater than Jonah is here. Christ is here. And the free offer of the gospel, the clear, open statement of the forgiveness of sins by the blood of Christ is now being made to sinners. How great is the responsibility today for men to ignore or refuse Christ in the gospel. Ah, you say, but what about the problems in this passage? What about the difficulty of saying God saying he will bring judgment and so on, and yet he has mercy? My answer to that is Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. The things that are revealed belong to us and to our children. And what's revealed here is this. In the preaching of judgment and the gospel in the New Covenant day, the preaching of God's message, when it's made effective by God's Spirit, leads men to repentance. I know the Spirit's not mentioned here, but I don't know of any other way it could happen. God will have mercy. In the midst of wrath, he remembers mercy, and this is the day of grace, and the door of God's mercy stands open all day to the poor and the needy, the poor and the wretched who knock, by the way. So, sinner, come, and God will have mercy upon you. Whatever your track record, the blood of Christ will wash away every sin, if you trust him. These are the lessons I learned from Jonah 3:10. God has mercy. In the midst of wrath, he remembers mercy. God is sovereign. His ways are inscrutable. I want to learn from Jonah as a believer. Let me go on, however frustrating it may be, however hopeless it may seem to be, however much I failed in the past. Let me learn from Jonah and go again and serve the Lord. And may he use even my feeble words. Brother and sister, the same for you. Let us lift our voices and do all we can, use our pens, whatever it might be, to speak for Christ. And may God bless it. My final word is for the unbeliever. Nineveh. Let Nineveh warn you. Let Nineveh encourage you. Nineveh warn you. If you will not repent, you will perish. Nineveh encourage you. If you dare, do turn to the Lord. If you do turn to the Lord, he will have mercy upon you. I said it was the final word. But one last. Ecclesiastes 11:6. Keep sowing the seed, brother. Keep sowing the seed, sister. You do not know which will prosper. The morning, the afternoon, the evening, whatever it is, what part of time of the day, what time of the season. Keep sowing. Cast your bread upon the waters. Let us learn from Jonah. So here's a word for us all, believer and unbeliever. May God use Jonah 3:10 and speak again. When God saw what the Ninevites did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion on them and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened.